Dinner that night was a very enjoyable affair. Tom the innkeeper put three tables together in the parlour, and the seven Weasleys, Harry and Hermione, ate their way through five delicious courses. "How are we getting to King's Cross tomorrow, Dad?" asked Fred as they dug into a sumptuous chocolate pudding. "The Ministry's providing a couple of cars," said Mr. Weasley. Everybody looked up at him. "Why?" said Percy curiously. "It's because of you, Perse," said George seriously, "and there'll be little flags on the hoods with HB on them for Humongous Big Head," said Fred. Everyone except Percy and Mrs. Weasley snorted into their pudding. "Why are the Ministry providing cars, Father?" Percy asked again in a dignified voice. "Well, as we haven't got one any more," said Mr. Weasley, "and as I work there, they're doing me a favour." His voice was casual, but Harry couldn't help noticing that Mr. Weasley's ears had gone red, just like Ron's did when he was under pressure. "Good thing, too," said Mrs. Weasley briskly. "Do you realise how much luggage you've all got between you? A nice sight you'd be on the Muggle Underground. You are all packed, aren't you?" "Ron hasn't put all his new things in his trunk yet," said Percy in a long-suffering voice. "He's dumped them on my bed." "You'd better go and pack properly, Ron, because we won't have much time in the morning," Mrs. Weasley called down the table. Ron scowled at Percy. After dinner, everyone felt very full and sleepy. One by one, they made their way upstairs to their rooms to check their things for the next day. Ron and Percy were next door to Harry. He had just closed and locked his own trunk when he heard angry voices through the wall and went to see what was going on. The door of number 12 was ajar, and Percy was shouting, "It was here, on the bedside table. I took it off for polishing." "I haven't touched it." "All right," Ron roared back. "What's up?" said Harry. "My head boy badge is gone," said Percy, rounding on Harry. "So Scabber's rat tonic," said Ron, throwing things out of his trunk to look. "I think I might have left it in the bar." "You're not going anywhere till you found my badge," yelled Percy. "I'll get Scabber's stuff. I'm packed," Harry said to Ron, and he went downstairs. Harry was halfway along the passage to the bar, which was now very dark, when he heard another pair of angry voices coming from the parlour. A second later, he recognised them as Mr. and Mrs. Weasley's. He hesitated, not wanting them to know he'd heard them arguing, when the sound of his own name made him stop, then move closer to the parlour door. "Makes no sense not to tell him," Mr. Weasley was saying heatedly. "Harry's got a right to know. I've tried to tell Fudge, but he insists on treating Harry like a child. He's 13 years old and..." "Arthur, the truth would terrify him," said Mrs. Weasley shrilly. "Do you really want to send Harry back to school with that hanging over him? For heaven's sake, he's happy not knowing."
"I don't want to make him miserable. I want to put him on his guard," retorted Mr. Weasley. "You know what Harry and Ron are like, wandering off by themselves. They've ended up in the Forbidden Forest twice. But Harry mustn't do that this year, when I think what could have happened to him that night he ran away from home. If the night bus hadn't picked him up, I'm prepared to bet he would have been dead before the Ministry found him."
"But he's not dead. He's fine. So what's the point?"
"Molly, they say Sirius Black's mad, and maybe he is. But he was clever enough to escape from Azkaban, and that's supposed to be impossible. It's been 3 weeks, and no one's seen hide nor hair of him, and I don't care what Fudge keeps telling the Daily Prophet. We're no nearer catching Black than inventing self-spelling wands. The only thing we know for sure is what Black's after."
"But Harry will be perfectly safe at Hogwarts."
"We thought Azkaban was perfectly safe. If Black can break out of Azkaban, he can break into Hogwarts."
"But no one's really sure that Black's after Harry."